Today, for our Bible study, I would encourage you to turn to the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, and let's begin reading at verse 9. The book of Zechariah, chapter 9, at verse 9. Now, we have here a glorious prophecy concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, listen carefully. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion, that is his sovereignty, his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from river even to the ends of the earth. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, have I sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Now, there's a reading from Zechariah. Now, throughout the Old Testament, we see the Lord Jesus Christ in pattern, picture, and prophecy. In Luke 24, our Lord said concerning himself and the Scriptures, listen carefully, Luke 24, verse 24 and following, Then he said unto them, O fools, slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. The Old Testament is more than just a book of Jewish history. It's a book revealing unto us the glory and beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Peter preaching to Cornelius in his house in Acts chapter 10, verse 42, we read, And he commanded us to preach unto the people and testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, that is to Christ, give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sin. God gave to his prophet here in Zechariah the very exact description of our Lord Jesus Christ as he entered into Jerusalem to accomplish the salvation of God's people 550 years before it actually happened. Now, if you want to jot this reference down over in Matthew 21, verse 1 through verse 11, we see exactly what God said would happen did come to pass. Zechariah not only describes for us the circumstances how Christ would come to Jerusalem to accomplish salvation, but also gives us a very vivid description of who this is that's coming to accomplish salvation for God's covenant people. Now, I want to point out for you six things we see in these verses. The first one is this. We read that Jesus Christ is the King or Lord of all salvation. We read, Behold, thy King cometh unto thee. The wise men ask, Where is he that is born King? They didn't ask, Where is he that will be King? You see, my friend, he was King when he was born. Our Lord, as God incarnate, is King of kings and Lord of lords. We read in Psalm 2, verse 6, God said, I've set my king upon my holy hill, Zion. And Acts 2:36, we read that God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified, God had made him both Lord and Christ. As king, God's king, as Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ is sovereign. That is, he has dominion, as we read, from sea to sea, from river to river, under the ends of the earth. He is the sovereign king, sovereign Lord in creation, providence, and most certainly in salvation. He will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. Now we read this through the Scriptures, but here's where it's recorded for us in Romans 9. It was said unto her, The elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. So, we see this biblical truth that I've tried to preach over the years on this radio broadcast, that salvation is of the Lord. Behold thy King cometh. He's King in creation, providence, and in salvation. Our Lord prayed in John 17, as thou hast given him, he prayed, power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as God had given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I've glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work which you gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He was always been king. When he was manifest in the flesh, he didn't cease being king to execute our salvation. He is king in salvation. He'll have mercy on whom he will. Secondly, we see this description. Jesus Christ is not only called king, but he is a just God. We read, he is just. That means he is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his character. He did no sin. He's a spotless Lamb of God. Stephen and Peter both called and referred to him as the just one in the book of Acts chapter 3 and in chapter 7. Our Lord, as a representative man, standing in the room instead of his covenant people, went about to establish a justifying righteousness for his own sheep that would both honor God's holy law in all of its precept and all of its penalty. We read over here in the book of Hebrews, such a high priest became us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heaven. He did not fail to honor God and to glorify God in all things. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to honor the law. As a servant of God, as a representative man, we read in Philippians 2, he made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant. He's God's servant. And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name above every name. At that name, every knee will bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He is not only king, but he is just. He is holy. Third thing we see is this. Here's another description. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only Savior. We read in this prophecy, having, he's the king, he's just, having salvation. He is not only a just God, but also a Savior. We read in Isaiah 45, tell ye, bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together, who hath declared this from ancient time, who hath told it from that time, have not I the Lord, there is no God else beside me. Now listen carefully, a just God, that is, he's holy, righteous, and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I am God, and there is none else. Paul the Apostle often calls the Lord Jesus Christ God, our Savior. He came to give his life as a ransom to purchase his covenant people. He said that in Matthew 28. I didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many, for his people. In Acts chapter 4, we read that he's the only Savior. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He is both a just God and Savior. Now, this is one of the oldest questions in the Bible that very few people consider. How can God be just and holy, righteous in all his ways, and yet justify the ungodly? Be just and the justifier. Well, there's only one answer to that, my friend. Only in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Romans 3, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness. Grace reigns through His righteousness, that He might be a just God, might be just and the justifier of them which believe in Christ, having salvation. He is our Savior. Simeon declared, let your servant depart in peace. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He is our Savior. He is just. He is King. The fourth thing we see that Zechariah tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ, He is also identified with our humanity. Lowly He comes, riding upon an ass. Totally and fully God Almighty. Yes, we believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet, we also believe in His humanity, the God-man. He is a real man. We read in John 1, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Again, we read in 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and believed on in the world, and received up into glory. As the God-man, this one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, as the God-man, He honored the law, perfected righteousness for us, and died as a sinner substitute. God made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He suffered once for our sin, the just for the unjust, having obtained eternal redemption for us. It's who He is that gives glory and power to what He accomplished. God bought us with His own blood. This God-man is just. He is holy, and He is God, and yet the God-man mediator. The other thing we see, number five, Jesus Christ, Zechariah declares, is our peace with God. He shall speak peace unto the heathen. Surely no one else has authority to speak peace to any sinner but Jesus Christ. We read in Romans 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. He made peace with God for His people through His blood sacrifice. It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. We have peace with God, reconciled and reconciliation unto God only through the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And He is the only one who has authority to speak peace and to give salvation, to grant repentance, and to grant faith unto His covenant people. Number six, Zechariah also declares Jesus Christ, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, is the deliverer. There's none other. He says, by the blood of the covenant have I set forth thy prisoners out of the pit, wherein there is no water. God said in Job 33, I have found a ransom. Deliver them from going down to the pit. I have a ransom. Our blessed Lord came to set His people free through the blood of His sacrifice. We read in Hebrews 13:20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Our Lord declared in Luke chapter 4, when He reads from Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to set us free from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, from the bondage of sin, being made our sin atonement, to deliver us from sin, to obtain eternal redemption for us. He came to set us free from the terror of death. Our Lord said, because I live, you shall live. And He came to set us free from the grip of the devil. He has set us free. He is our deliverer. I pray the Lord will give you grace to go back and look at these Scriptures again. And I pray the Lord will give you a revelation of the glory and beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ as He is described in Scripture, and make Him the only hope of your salvation.